Hallelujah. That's what he has to be in our lives. Lord of our lives. That means we give him control. Amen. We don't let this be in control. This body. But the spirit is in control. If he's Lord of your life. Amen. We have to know and understand that. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Amen. This is in the NIV, but just follow along in whatever version you have. It's close. Imagine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Of course, you fail the test. All right. You may be seated. Thank you. We're going to talk about new beginnings. Amen. I'm thankful we serve a God that will give us new beginnings. Amen. He is a God that loves us, cares about us, and wants us to serve him. Amen. Amen. So he is forever cleansing and blessing us through his blood. So today we will examine the spiritual advice given to Paul to the believers of Corinth. He admonished them to examine themselves. Take a look, you know, look at over your life as a believer, as a Christian, and take an inventory of your spiritual status. Where are you at? How strong are you? Are you a sold out, born again, blood bought child of God? What is your where are you standing? How strong, how weak are you? You know, are you in good shape spiritually? This advice is just as relevant to the church today as was in the Christians of the first century. Amen. A wise Christian will consistently take inventory of his life and ensure his alignment with and the will and plan of God. Amen. I thought about it, the warriors that have recently been sent to save the compounds that were in siege or went after brutal men that were killing people, and these warriors went in there with excellency and did their job and came out accomplishing the mission. But I thought about them, how much preparation do they do before they go into the battle? They're constantly, every day, rehearsing, renewing, checking their strength, checking their physical abilities, and staying in shape and staying strong and mighty, so that when they are called upon, they have the strength, the stamina, and the ability to go into the battle and come back alive. Amen. That's the kind of Christian that we're looking for here, is one that is not bumped off by just a measly little somebody doesn't shake your hand, but somebody that loves God. Ain't nobody gonna turn you back. No situation that you face in the body of Christ, in the church, that's gonna turn you around. Amen. You are sold out to God. God is Lord of your life. He makes the decisions. Amen. To merely assume that one is always following the will of God is dangerous. To just assume that, I've just been in this forever, so I'm just loving God. But have you had adversity come your way? Have you been tested? If I was to come to you as pastor and say, I just want you to sit down for a while, How would you handle that? Would that blow your Christianity? Or could you, as a godly person, say, okay, you're sent as a man of God to help me grow, and I'm gonna figure this out, and I'm gonna walk with you, and I'm gonna believe. How do we take things when it's brought to us in the Spirit? Or is our pride going to rise up and say, how dare he? Who does he think he is? That's the kind of examination I think that Paul's talking about here. Can you receive instruction? Can you receive rebuke? Can you receive from God what God is trying to tell you? And take it and put it into your spirit and walk away still living for God. Amen. That's hard things to take. But God didn't put us here for just showing up on Sunday and passing time. Amen. He put us here to perfect ministry, to bless, to be a help, to be a strength, to make sure we make it to heaven. Amen. Paul says to examine oneself. The new year is often a time of reevaluation. Amen. We like to look over our lives and say, man, you know, I've really put on some pounds this year, and this year I'm really going to take a look at my health, and I'm going to get some things under control. And we try to do those things every year, and we make resolutions that this year is going to be different. This year I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to not eat as much. I'm going to get rid of the sugar. I'm going to stop eating bread. Whatever resolution you may make, the goal is to make a change, to make something better, to make it stronger, make it so that you can be healthier. And it is also a good time for self-examination spiritually. We look at New Year's as, man, this is a new year. And this is 2020. We got a whole new year in front of us. We can make a difference this year. We can put all the bad that we failed at last year, or the good that we did. We can either build on it, or we can, you know, but this year's going to be different. This year I'm going to make some advances into the kingdom of God. So it's important, regular self-examination. Self-examination and honest introspection are cruel to the living a life that pleases God. Amen? God wants us to evaluate, because he wants you to make, God has given us his Spirit. That's all you need. We go to big conferences, and we go to things that try to get something from God. But to be honest with you, God has given you everything you need. When he baptized you with his Spirit and he washed you with his blood, that's all you need. Amen. If you will keep that in place, the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you and strengthen you and help you. But so many times, flesh is up above the Spirit, and flesh is in control more than the Spirit is. If we can just learn to get flesh out of the way, amen, and say, flesh, you're not going to live this year. Amen. That's the key. One of the most dangerous traps the enemy places along a Christian path is complacency. Getting into a comfortable spot. And man, it's just a place. It's I'm not really doing anything bad, but I'm really not doing anything good. I'm just complacent. I'm just there. I'm doing what I've always done. And some Christians are they rely solely on their initial experience with God as being all they will ever need for salvation. Well, I got the Holy Ghost way back when. When's the last time you got the Holy Ghost? Amen. I read of priest in the Old Testament that was never allowed to let the fire go out. They had to daily keep the fire burning inside of them. The Bible calls us, says we are a holy nation, a holy priesthood. Amen. Your body is the temple, and you're the priest of that temple. Amen. So it's up to you, priest, to keep your fire burning. Keep the Holy Ghost alive in you. Amen. That's why we today want to look at who we are, where we're at in the Spirit. Is the Holy Ghost burning in us? Is God's Spirit alive? Is God breathing and coercing in our life? Are we hearing the voice of God? Are we obeying? Not only hearing it, but are we obeying the voice of God? We can hear it, but we can just let it go in this ear and out that one. Amen. And not put it into action. Amen. We must examine. Put it to the test in your relationships. Is what God's been speaking to this church, have I been putting that to action in my life? That's where the rubber meets the road. Amen. That's where, hey, I see this and I know it's really convicting me, but am I changing? Am I allowing the Holy Ghost to change me? That's where you see growth, when you allow the Holy Ghost to change you. Philippians 2 in verse 12, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is wanting us to keep our spirit on fire. Amen. Keep the spirit that he has put in us. Keep it alive. The only thing that keeps God out of our lives is sin. It's things that displease him. Is attitudes that are not of God. So if you're running low, search your heart. Do a survey on what you've been doing and how you've been acting and what you've been saying, and see if God is pleased with it. Because God wants to be in you. God wants to use you. God wants to hear your cries. God wants to do what you want. But he can't if you're not willing to change. To do what's pleasing to him. That's the most important thing. Am I following Christ? 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Amen. We have the ability to we're the testers. We're the examiners of the Spirit. Amen. We're the barometer to tell whether the Spirit is in us. Amen. A man's failure to examine himself or to be honest with himself can result in a state of spiritual lukewarmness, backslidingness, and even a state of being reprobate. That's a serious state. Amen. And we must understand and wake up. Amen. and make sure that every relationship in our life, God is there in and moving in and being, the Spirit of God is blessed and welcome there. We must examine, be examined by the Spirit. Let the Word of God speak to us. Let it judge us. Let it help us. Self-examination consists of allowing the searchlight of God's Word to penetrate the dark resources of your heart. Turn the light on. Let it get in there. My dad and his dad always would sing the song, "The Shelf Behind the Door." I don't need it anymore. So quickly sweep the idols out from in behind the door. Amen. We gotta get into the places, the dark places of our life that nobody sees, and shine a light in there and see if there's things in there that are not of God. And in our spirit. Amen. Because God is trying to get into us and allow Him to be completely Lord over your whole life. Amen. That's the important thing. Lord, be God, be Lord of every part of me. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." God, let me take this word like with some things, you go to the airport and they go all over you. Or you stand there and they can just see everything that's in your life. It's examining you. Is there anything in you? We allow the Word of God. When the Word of God is preached, it's not, like I said, to pitchfork it over to the next person or throw it across the room to that family over there. But it's for you personally to take home, to digest, to say, God, are you talking to me? Let me examine myself. Let me look over my life. What am I doing? Can I make anything better? Can I grow stronger? Can I become a greater warrior for your kingdom? 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 says, May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ... Oh, here we go. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." The scalpel of God's Word and Spirit will excise impurities from one's heart and soul. It's like a doctor, a surgeon, that's going into the brain, and there's just a little spot in there that's not right. And the Word of God is like that doctor with that scalpel, and goes in there and just takes it out so gently and removes it out of your life. And then, man, the light comes on. Oh my, now I can see where God is trying to take me and use me and help me in, because I've allowed Him to get what was fogging my mind out. And now I can be greatly used of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Amen. God knows there's things that we hold on to, that we keep in our spirit, that is not of Him. That's why His Word is here for us, to put it to action, to let it work in us, to let it carve out some things that are not godly. David, a man after God's own heart, willingly put himself on the altar and cried out for the Spirit's searchlight. Search me, O God. Know my heart. See if there be any good way in me. Amen. He said, work me over. Make me to be what is pleasing to you. I give you license, God, to come in and remove anything that's not of you. And don't let me fight against that. Because why? Because of a heart that was willing and wanted to be godly. It wanted a relationship with God. One that says, man, I've messed up. I have not done right. I have done some pretty rotten things. God, get in here. Work me over. Give me a clean heart. Amen. He understood that God's word wasn't there to harm him. But God's word will help you, make you stronger, will build you up, will strengthen you. It will make you a stronger force in his kingdom if it has permission to. Man, we hold the key. Amen. We hold it in our grips, life or death. Luke 8:21. He replied, my mother and my brother are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. You want to know that you have a relationship with God? Amen. Is God's word changing you still today? Amen. Or did he perfect you the day he filled you with the Holy Ghost? I mean, you were next to God before his Spirit came inside of you. There was just one little flake that you had to fix in your life before God. You were just like God. And my goodness, God is just about ready to just take you up out of here. Because you're so close. You're just right on the edge of glory. No, I don't think there's a whole lot of us here like that. Amen? We're lost without Jesus. Amen? We are lost without his goodness and mercy in our lives. Amen? That's why the blood of Jesus Christ is so important. That's why his salvation is so important, that we continue in it, that we keep it alive in us. Romans 8:13-14. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Amen. Being led of the Spirit is being obedient to those that God puts in your life. Amen. When the pastor asks a simple thing, you know, let me know if you're going to be at church. We have a hard time with that. We struggle with that here in Church of Pentecost. That grits on our spirit. Why? You wouldn't have a bit of problem calling your boss that pays you every week to let him know you're going to be late. Come on. I'm here talking about things that displease God. Amen. You're coming here for a relationship with God. I'm here helping you have that relationship with God. Don't get upset if I'm trying to encourage you to do it right. Amen. God wants to help you. And if you can get the little things, God will give you bigger things. Brother Pritt?
You know, it's funny the way we look at things. You know, I think a lot of it sometimes, we don't go forward. God gives some relief to us. Sometimes I think we can develop an entitlement mentality, to be honest. Because
Yeah. Yes. don't show up. Don't call your boss the next three or four times that you're late for work and see if you have a job. We sing that song and we love to sing it. Jesus, you're the center of it all. You know, is this, I mean, to me, this is serving God. When I come to the house of God, I'm in service to God. I come to worship God. I come to give God excellence and greatness and mercy and bless his name. Amen. Is that the center of your life? Does everything else in your life revolve around your service to God? Is this the most important thing, your service to God, or is every other little thing in your life that steals things and pulls you away from the Spirit of God? Amen. What happens when you don't come to church very often? You get weak in the spirit. Your strength is, you get complacent in your life, and it's just like, I'm ashamed to go back now. You know, I've been out so long. Why is that? Because there's something that happens when you come into the presence of God, when you put him first, when your focus is not on you and it's on someone else. God's Spirit dwells in that. So it's not that I'm trying to be Lord over anybody. I'm trying to make sure that when I stand before God, I can say, yes, Lord, that person was a profitable servant. They did everything. I am pleased. And I can give a good report for your life. Amen. Because one day God's going to ask and he's going to require. Paul's prayer for the Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13:7. It says, now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. Paul mentioned two specific matters of prayer for the Corinthians, that they do no wrong and that they do what is right. Sounds pretty simple. He's not a hard preacher. It's just logic. Makes sense. Please God and do what's right. In other words, don't do wrong. Do what's right. Amen. That's the gist of living for God. Amen. If you want to be close to God, get sin out of your life. Open the doorway, open the passageway for God to be in your life. Amen. So that we do no wrong. The word wrong in Paul's plea to the Corinthians was translated from the Greek word kakos, which means bad, of a bad quality or disposition or worthless, corrupt, depraved. Paul's trying to say, get the mess out of your life. His plea that they do no wrong, it encompassed anything outside the realm of righteousness. I mean, you know what God's been speaking to you, and you know what's been really hitting hard at your spirit. And it's a matter of how much do I want to let God in. Amen. Many people today tend to justify many wrongs by comparing them to greater wrongs. Well, you know, well, look at so-and-so, you know. I must be really okay, you know. We try to justify by looking at greater things that are wrong. And from God's point of view, however, there are no big sins as opposed to little sins. God hates all sin. And if there's little sin in our life, God isn't. Amen? That's why I need to pray daily. That's why I need to ask for forgiveness daily, so that blood washes those sins. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. Amen? But we got to live in the continual regeneration of washing and cleansing of our lives with sin. There's scripture that says, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. In other words, grow up. Amen? Stop doing wrong things. And let the Spirit of God give you strength to stop those things. We must follow and do what is right. The word right translate from the Greek word kalos, which means morally good, noble, praiseworthy, contributing to salvation, etc. The King James Version translated the word make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. In Titus 2, 9 through 10. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. The word right translates from the same Greek word as the word good in James 4:17. In James 4:17 it says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So a lot of things we know. My attitude is not right. What I just said was not right. And we know not to do that, but we continue to do it. That, my friend, is sin. Because we're aware, we have knowledge that that wasn't, I shouldn't have spoke that word, that four-letter word. Or that ugly word that I just said to my whoever. And we continually do it anyhow. My friend, you're living in sin. God's not pleased. God's not there. Amen? He's patiently waiting on the outside, waiting for you to stop some things and get some things out of your life. Because he so desperately wants to come in and be a blessing and help to what you're so upset about. So in the natural realm, few things please the Father before more than for his child to desire to be like him. So it is with God, and those he redeemed desire to strive to be like him. Amen. Could you imagine how many times God wanted to just throw down the gavel and call down angels from heaven and take care of business, but he endured? He spoke no guile. Nothing negative came out of his mouth toward them. God loved them. God wanted to show them truth. God wanted to bless and help them. Amen. The new beginning is being full of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost reigning and ruling in our lives. We must be filled and stay full of the Holy Ghost. We must keep God burning and alive in us, and we can have his Spirit. Prayer and fasting helps those things. Prayer and fasting. Prayer is one of the basic experiences of a Christian life. It's conversation with God. Sitting down with God and letting God speak to you, talk to you. You talking to God, you sharing with God. Just like eating and sleeping and working are everyday experiences for the average person, prayer is one of the fundamental walks with God. Amen. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." In the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of Christ. Amen. God's Spirit in us, allowing his Spirit to move in us, his presence to be in our lives. There is nothing that complements prayer like fasting. Amen. You want to get God's attention when you deny your flesh and you take away from your flesh things that it desires. That's the most thing that a human being desires is food, water. When you deny yourself of that, you get the attention of God, because you're denying the very thing that's struggling to allow him to be there. And if you do that, that brings the attention of God upon you, upon your situation. It pulls at the heartstrings of God, because you're giving up something so that he can work in your life, so that he can do what he is designed to do, his power, his mercy, his grace, his excellency. Amen. Fasting breaks the bonds. Isaiah 58:6-9. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malice talk, amen, you break things when you fast, and you allow God to do and be God of your life. Tithing and everything we have belongs to the Lord. And when the people of God returned from exile in Babylon, they worshiped God freely in every area except their finances. when our finances are in our life, we believe that they are God's, we will give what is God's to God. Amen? That's important that we keep that in part in our lives. A part of committing your finances to God is getting your finances in order. Not being in debt to the things of the world. Not just blowing your money, but having things laid back in store. Amen. Being a good steward of what God has given you. Those are important things. So all these things play into godly living. Let's stand. And the more we allow